Good afternoon. Today's date is October 31st, 2023. The message today is Jesus Christ in prophecy. So I will be examining the word of God on behalf of Jesus Christ as prophet. If there is a prophet which is established as a prophet in the word of God, then that word should be confirmed by other prophets. And that word should be confirmed in the word of God so that that word is effective when the person work in that office for living. So Jesus Christ came as the prophet, the new prophet. First of all, I'd like to explain what Isaiah has to prophesy on behalf of his office as prophet. So run, get your Bibles and let's examine Isaiah as prophet. The prophet is the one that our Heavenly Father births into a place called life for the word, for his word to be spread to his people. So here it is, I want to start here at Isaiah, the 51st chapter, 16 verse. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. So Isaiah is one of the individuals that is confirmed to be prophet in canon. The word canon is defined as a straight read. So here Isaiah is getting part of he's getting part of the work that he is going to be responsible for. So our Heavenly Father is giving him an assignment. He's telling him that he have put his words in his mouth. 16 verse, I want to read that once again. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hands. So our Heavenly Father is giving Isaiah a word here that he have covered him, meaning he have him protected. He have protected him, and he's given him a word as to how he is to work. 16 verse once again. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens. Plant the heavens, meaning that he's going to give Isaiah a work to do so that Isaiah can be the person who will establish his heavenly work and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, now he's getting another word from our Heavenly Father. He's giving him a word that he wants him to say something. I may plant my heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Because really people don't understand whom they are except our Heavenly Father speak a word to their heart, or Jesus Christ. So this is speaking on behalf of Isaiah in prophecy for the work of a prophet. Also, I want to talk about the work of Isaiah on behalf of Isaiah introducing the church to a standard not to engage or entertain those who work with the familiars. Those who work with the familiars and those who work with the wizards that peep and that mutter. So I want to talk a little bit about that, because we have those kinds of spirits on the earth in America. That particular work, which is the familiars, is done by the witch. That's the one that reads. That's the psychic. The psychic is the one that can see in the future. So we have those kinds of people here right now in America. First of all, I'd like to go back over all the scriptures that I'll be working with. The first scripture is Isaiah 51st chapter and the 16th verse. The second scripture is Isaiah 61st chapter and the 1st through the 2nd verse. Isaiah 8th chapter 19 through the 20th verse. John the 1st chapter and 45th verse. Luke 4th chapter and 14 through the 22nd verse. And the scriptures for giving, Proverbs 3rd chapter 9th through the 9th through the 10th verse. The next scriptures will be Jeremiah the 17th chapter and the 7th verse, Revelation the 12th chapter, that's for testimony. Testimony is Revelation the 12th chapter and 11th verse. And there's one more scripture I want to work with, which is Matthew the 19th chapter and the 1st verse. So I want to talk about Jesus Christ in prophecy. However, I would like to stop over here at Isaiah the 8th chapter and the 19th verse, because we have adversaries in America which works with particular sin and evil. Sin is defined as one who is committing an immoral act. But this particular person is worse than that. This person here is the one that reads. So we don't need the witch. The witch hides behind a nickname called the psychic. That's one of the names. There's another one that works with the pipe. That one works, that is working with the familiars. They look into the pipe and they can see. So, we need to know about these kind of people because they're in America and they are working with spirits. The familiars, that person is referred to as the female witch. And the wizard is the soothsayer. The soothsayer is the one that comforts a person with a word which is not from our Heavenly Father. That person peeps and mutter, and the proper word for that is chirp, meaning to whisper. So often when people get in trouble, they want someone to give them comfort. But the witch is not our comforter. We have the prophet there as our comforter, which is the one that has been developed by our Heavenly Father. On behalf of His word. I want to read this once again. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Well, we need to know what does that mean? Because many people have turned to the witch by mistake, which is a devastating, deadly mistake, because the witch is the adversary to the people. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep, those are the ones that do the whispering and speaks to the mind. And that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So here, I want to talk here or teach . So I want to go over here, I'm running over here to the book of Deuteronomy, because I am teaching on behalf of Jesus Christ in prophecy. What does the word of the Lord have to say on behalf of Jesus Christ as prophet? So here Moses, he have a word. He have a word here for Israel, because he was also teaching Israel to avoid the workers of the flesh, which is the witch. He was teaching them that, because they are to avoid these kinds of services, because they have services. This particular passage of Holy Scripture is to guide and direct the people and protect the people from following the wrong leadership. So here I want to explain about the role of the prophet. The prophet is a very important person in the Word of God, because we need the prophet. Because the prophet is the one with the work to do to give the people instructions. So let's define the office of the prophet. The Hebrew word for the prophet is Nabi, N-A-B-I, from a root meaning to bubble forth as from a fountain, or to utter, a spokesman, speaker, or prophet. So I'm going to run on down a little bit further here. A prophet is a spokesman for God. He or she speaks in God's name and by his authority. So since this person is a spokesman, that means that that word must come directly from the heart of our Heavenly Father to the one that's speaking. He is the mouth, or she is the mouth. When I say she, because there is a female gender for prophetess. He is the mouth, or she is the mouth, by which God speaks to men and women. So I want to run over here to Jeremiah, the first chapter and the 9th verse. It's important for us to understand prophecy because many don't understand the office and the role of the prophet. They don't understand the work of the prophet because usually most prophets have deceased when the work is revealed, when their work is revealed. So here Jeremiah, he is a prophet. And the work that Jeremiah is doing or performing is he is performing a word and he's performing a work on behalf of our Heavenly Father. That's the first chapter of Jeremiah, the 9th verse. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. 10th verse, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and plant. So Jeremiah is here being established by the Heavenly Father as a prophet, and plus he is receiving an assignment as to the way he must work. That's a prophet. Also, Jeremiah is one of the prophets that is confirmed by all of the theologians, and he is confirmed by other prophets. Every prophet must be confirmed by other prophets. Every prophet must be confirmed by other prophets. So Jeremiah have a great work here to do. Let's read once again at the 10th verse of the first chapter of Jeremiah. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. So Jeremiah is being established as a leader. He have a great work he set over the nations. He was one of the individuals, he's one of the individuals that gave a word on behalf of Jesus Christ. Out of the 31st chapter and the 31st verse, he confirmed a word on behalf of part of the work on behalf of Israel and the church. I don't have time to go over there right now, but that scripture is established over in the book of Hebrews. So that's how the prophet is created. The prophet is created by our Heavenly Father. For what? For a work. So let's run on down just a little bit more, a little bit further. A prophet was a spokesman, or is a spokesman, not was, but is a spokesman for God. He spoke in God's name, or he speaks in God's name, and by his authority. So the prophet comes in our Heavenly Father's authority. So that word must be accurate. Prophets are the immediate organs of God for the communication of his mind and will to men. The whole word of God may, in this general sense, be spoken of as prophetic. So we need to understand who is the prophet and what is his assignment to the people. So I want to start here. At Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and the 15th verse. So here Moses is. Moses have the role as a prophet. He have the role as a prophet, meaning that that is defined as a work that Moses is responsible for Israel. So Moses was the person that exited Israel from the Egyptians. So now he's establishing a new government. So here, I'm over here in the book of Deuteronomy. In the 15th verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. From the midst of thee, meaning that this particular prophet is a part of the church. This prophet is going to be a part of the church. 15th verse is the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. In the 15th verse, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, H-E-A-R-K-E-N. So that word is defined, the word hearken is defined as listen to or hear. 16th verse, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. So Israel is over here. They're over here in the wilderness. So I'm over here in the book of Pentateuch. That is the five books of Moses. Eighteen verse, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, so I will require it of him. So here the prophet Moses is giving a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, that there will come another prophet. So Israel is here. They are very much familiar with the work of the prophet. The prophet is one of the individuals that feeds the church information. What kind of information? Information for direction, information for protection. So Moses, out of the book of Deuteronomy, is instructing the church whom to associate with, what services to believe in, and what services not to believe in for their safety. We need the same thing. So we have an adversary on the earth whom goes about to call themselves psychics, they goes about to call themselves these kind of names. Why? Because they are there to destroy the people. They work with the familiars. Well, we need to be familiar with these type of people because they are here in America, established in business for what? For counselors. We don't turn to the psychic for guide. We don't turn to the psychic or those individuals whom call themselves soothsayers. You have another one that reads the cards. That's the American card. It's another card that they read as well. So we avoid those kinds of people because we are to receive counsel, those of us who believe in the word of God, those of us whom the Lord have called and commanded us to be a part of his word for living. We don't need the psychic. We don't need those kinds of people because they are there to destroy and they are there to deceive. So we need to know the spirit. We need to understand the spirit of prophecy. So I'm here examining the word of God on behalf of Jesus Christ in prophecy. So I want to run over here. Every word of prophecy is confirmed by other prophets. So I'm going to run over here to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So when we are believing in a prophet or a prophetess, we must prove that whatever work that they perform, there's proof that our Heavenly Father spoke it. And we know why? Because our Heavenly Father spoke it. If he did not speak it, then we know that as well. There is a way for us to confirm the word of prophecy that comes from the mouth of a male or a female. How do we confirm it? We confirm it by way of the Holy Spirit giving us confirmation. Second verse, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So, I'm going to go over here to another scripture. No, it's not Isaiah the 8th chapter, it's John the 1st chapter. John, the first chapter and the 45th verse. The 45th verse. Philip found his. Let's go up a little bit further. The 44th. Let's go to the 43rd verse. The 43rd verse. The day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. 44th verse. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. 45th verse. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So here Jesus have arrived. Why? Because it was spoken of him, first of all, by Moses. Moses was one of the prophets that prophesied on behalf of the Christ coming. But he didn't use the word Christ. He did not use his name because he was just speaking on behalf of a prophecy that our Heavenly Father had given him that there would come a new prophet. I want to start here again at the 45th verse. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets. So the next prophet that brought forth a word was Isaiah. Isaiah was a major prophet. He was not a minor prophet. He is established in the Old Testament as prophet. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. So it was written of Jesus Christ. So Philip is explaining to, he is explaining to Nathanael that he has found the prophet in which it was spoken of by Moses and the other prophets, because Moses wasn't the only one that had confirmation that there would come a new prophet. Moses did not get the name of the prophet. Neither did Isaiah. He didn't get the name of the prophet, but since our Heavenly Father gave that word to these men, since he conveyed that word to these men, then that word must be continually birthed until the person that our Heavenly Father was speaking of to the prophets come to pass. Father, 6 verse, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Father, 7 verse, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. G-U-I-L-E. meaning that he is not of any, meaning that Nathaniel, Jesus Christ is telling Nathaniel about his spirit. He is a child of Almighty God. So he don't have any, he have a spirit that does not have any ghoul in it. 48th verse. I wasn't coming down this far, but I'm going to read a little bit further. 48th verse. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So Jesus Christ is giving Nathanael a understanding, an understanding about where he was, and that he understood that he was there. Nathanael saith unto him, this is 48th verse, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Because Nathanael didn't know actually who Jesus was, but he did know that the prophets had spoken of Jesus coming forth as the new prophet. Jesus Christ also had the office of apostle. So Jesus Christ came, when Jesus Christ came, he brought forth a work. He brought forth a work that is going to produce a life for the believer. So let's run over here. There's other confirmation. Let's run over here to Luke, the fourth chapter, because all prophecy must be confirmed by the Heavenly Father. And now that Jesus Christ is on the scene, by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When I say that, I'm talking about the Trinity, because they all three agrees as one. Where? In the Word of God. The prophet, when I say prophet, when I'm talking about the office of the prophet, that is the person that receives a word from Jesus Christ to his or her heart. How do we know when the Lord is speaking to us? How do we know when Jesus Christ is speaking a word to us? We know how, by the Holy Spirit. We know because we can identify with the Spirit of Christ. That's how we know when Jesus Christ speaks a word to our heart. So when we are developed in the Word of God, we know when a person have the office of the prophet or prophetess, because the word that comes forth from the Spirit is holy. And the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, confirms it. Why do I use both names? I use both names because they are there together. There are three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the one that created the life of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. And our Father is the one that created the Holy Spirit. So he created all of the spirits, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is there. Whom is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is defined. The work of the Holy Spirit is there and is defined as the Comforter and the Counselor. We need the Counselor because we need directions. Now, those of us who are adults, we have a different idea as far as our authority. We make up our mind. That's called our will. So we don't believe every spirit. We believe those whom we can prove in the Word of God that they are called to do the work of prophecy. So we are not under the Pentateuch. We are under the gospel. So since we're under the gospel, we still must prove the prophet. So here I want to start here from, because I'm still confirming Jesus Christ in prophecy. Luke, the 4th chapter. So here Jesus Christ, he was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness and he was being tempted by the devil. Let's start here, the first verse. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was led by our Heavenly Father to go to the wilderness. You know what the wilderness is? That is a place where there is nothing developed there. There's no grocery stores. There's no people there. There is nothing there but trees and wild beasts. Second verse. Second verse. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and all those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So Jesus Christ could stand before the devil because he was fasting and praying. He was fasting. He was on a 40-day and 40-night fast. He was tempted of the devil. He was out in the wilderness by himself, physically, but not without our Heavenly Father. He was fasting. That's why he could stand before the adversary and complete all of that temptation that was there and not lose the faith. So I'm going to go down to the third verse. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Why did the devil do that? That's the adversary, that's the enemy. And guess where the devil is? The devil is on the earth. So we must understand the character of the devil as well. So the devil is here wanting Jesus Christ to perform a work of miracles, because Jesus Christ came with the gift of miracles. He came with the gift of miracles. He was born with the gift of miracles. So here the devil wants him to command the stone to be made bread. Fourth verse. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall kneel. Fourth verse. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So Jesus Christ can stand to, he have enough self-control where he can commune with the devil. Many of us can't because we're not in condition to respond with communication to one as great as the devil. Because the devil is whom? The devil is the beast. So Jesus Christ had enough faith, and he also had someone with him, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. and the counsel he had of a Heavenly Father there as well. So he was qualified to reside in the wilderness, not live out there as far as residence, but he was qualified to stand before the devil on a fast, and due to the fact that he's the Son of God, and due to the fact that he had been developed and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why he was qualified to commune with the adversary. So he tells the devil here, he answered him, and he told him that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So when we receive a word from Jesus Christ heart to heart as prophecy, when a man or a woman is called in the office to speak a word of prophecy, we can receive it if that word come directly from Jesus Christ mouth. If he speak it to our heart when we perform it and believe it when we hear it in our ear, because faith come by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So when we hear the word of God and we perform it and accept it as truth from Jesus Christ, from his mouth to our heart, then we can live. So I think it's very important to talk about and to teach about the work of the prophet. Jesus Christ has more work than the prophet. Jesus Christ carries five offices. He carries the office of apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and prophet. So if we're sitting with a person that carries that many offices and they're working at work perfectly, meaning in a matured manner, and we are receiving a word from that prophet, then we shall live. We can live. But many don't understand the word of prophecy. So it is good to understand the spirit of prophecy, because our Heavenly Father can speak a word to a man or a woman, or can command a man or a woman to take the office of prophecy, the office of prophet, of prophetess. So when that person accept that command, if they are giving us information from the mouth of Christ, then we know, because we have received a word directly from Christ in heaven. And so it is very important for us when we receive a word from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a man or a woman can be on the earth, and our Heavenly Father can work with them in the office of prophet, a prophecy. So if that male or that female deceased, if that word came directly from Jesus Christ, or before Jesus Christ was born on the earth for the work of the prophet, if that person do decease and our Heavenly Father spoke that word to that prophet's heart and that prophet completed that work, if that prophet completed that work and that prophet afterwards deceased, then that word is still effective for what? For living and for being effective for living. The work of the teacher is to develop one or to exalt one, meaning to build, to correct, and to direct. If that teacher is born of Christ, meaning that person have been developed in the Word of God for salvation and have been given a work to do. If our Heavenly Father is working with that teaching, if that's before Christ was born, if our Heavenly Father is working with that teacher, then that teacher's work is good for living. So when I'm working with the gospel, I'm here to give the word in which the Lord have given me. If that word is received as truth, and it is from, and if that word is given out to the people and they receive it, if Jesus Christ spoke it to my heart, when that person believe it and receive it and put it to practice, then that person can live. There is nothing hard about that word. Nothing at all hard about it. It is a word spoken by Jesus Christ to my heart. And when I give it out, those who receive it and believe it and put it to practice, then that person is effective for living how? In the gospel by Jesus Christ. So the prophet or prophetess can decease, but their work do not decease. Their work is still alive. Why? Now I'm speaking on behalf of the prophets before Jesus Christ. How? Because that work was given to them, but because that work was given unto those people, I'm getting ready to close, I'm close to closing. That work was given unto that prophet of prophetess for the life of those whom believe in the word of God for living. Now we have two terms here for faith. One is religion. The religious one is the one that believes in the word, but not the living word. They just believe in the Bible. They believe in the letter. There's nothing wrong with believing in the Bible, but they don't believe in the prophet for a live life, a live life, meaning that life of that person was produced by our Heavenly Father and confirmed by other prophets or prophetess. So I'm gonna continue, I'm gonna run on down here a little bit further. So I'm going to skip some scriptures. I'm coming down to the 14th verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round and about. So Jesus Christ became famous. The fame of him I'm going to read this once again. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. The power of what Spirit? The power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. And there went out a fame of him through all of the region round and about. So all the people was talking about Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is here in power by our Heavenly Father. 15th verse, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So he was teaching in the church. Jesus Christ is a teacher. So he have the office of prophet, and he also have the office of the teacher. So he's here teaching in the synagogue. Meaning the church, these people are calling this place synagogue as the church. We call it today as the church. They're saying synagogue, that's the name That is the place where they were serving and worshiping. Here in America, we call the name of that place the church. 16 verse. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. So here, Jesus Christ is honoring the Sabbath. He's accustomed to going to church on the Sabbath, and stood up for to read. So now Jesus Christ is getting ready to introduce himself as the new prophet. 17 verse, and that was delivered unto him the book of the prophets. The book of the prophet, not prophets, excuse me. Isaiah. So Isaiah did speak of Jesus Christ, but he didn't call his name, because Jesus Christ was not developed at that point in time in prophecy. He was not developed in the completion of the work of the gospel at that time. That was the 61st chapter of Isaiah. But Isaiah did get a word from my Heavenly Father that Jesus Christ was coming, but he didn't use his name. He spoke a word as though he was speaking of himself. But since he was in prophecy, he was not speaking of himself. He was speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ. So that's why Jesus Christ is here confirming that he have the book of prophet, which is Isaiah 17 verse. I am going to read this once again. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So Isaiah was one of the prophets that gave confirmation that the word which was spoken by Moses on behalf of the coming prophet is true. 18 verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So this is the same prophecy that Isaiah spoke of. So here Isaiah's word for word, Jesus Christ is confirming that Isaiah was the one that spoke of him in the writing. He is introducing himself to the church as the new prophet. And he's also introducing the work that is to be performed in the gospel. Preach, that word is defined as one who sermonizes a word. I'll put the word in a format where that prophet or preacher is conveying that word to a congregation or to a people. I'm going to read this once again, because Jesus Christ is introducing himself from what book? The book of Isaiah, because Isaiah is the one that confirmed that the word that Moses spoke on behalf of the coming prophet is true. By whom? Our Heavenly Father. 18 verse. I'm going to read this once again. Now let's go to the 17 verse. 17 verse. And thou was delivered unto him, unto whom? Jesus Christ, the book of the prophet, prophet, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. 18 verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. The word anointed is defined as the chosen one. So he was anointed, he was chosen He was chosen and established for the work of the ministry. I'm going to read over the 18th verse once again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus because he had anointed him to preach, meaning he had chosen him to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So Jesus Christ also had the gift of healing. He had the gift of healing to preach deliverance. The word deliverance is defined as to transport or to move from one place to the other. So the scripture here is telling us, is giving us a word here, to preach deliverance to the captives. That means those who are not free, to set them free, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 19 verse, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Isaiah gave the same word for word, letter for letter, because this is confirmation that Jesus Christ is coming. But he spoke that word as though he was speaking on behalf of a work for himself. But he was not, I'm speaking of Isaiah now, but he was not speaking about himself, because here we have confirmation that Isaiah was speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ and the work and assignment that was, that Jesus Christ is going to be responsible for. 20 verse, and he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue, meaning the church, were fastened on him. Well, they was looking at him because they are amazed. They are amazed that they have one, that they have a person there whom is introducing himself as prophet. 21st verse, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he went a little bit further to give the body of Jesus Christ a confirmation that the word that Isaiah spoke is completed in their ears. 22nd verse, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So, I want to read down. I want to come down a little bit further. I want to run over here to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 7th verse. So we need to understand the office and the role of the prophet, because when we believe the prophet, we shall live, or the prophetess. We shall live when we believe in a word of prophecy from the mouth of the prophet or the prophetess or the teacher or the pastor, the one that is anointed. Meaning that is defined when I say anointed. When I say the one that is anointed, that is the person who was chosen by Jesus Christ to do the work of prophecy. So I'm getting ready to close here. I am getting ready just shortly to close excuse me, to close. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 7th verse. So Jeremiah is here blessing the man that believes in the prophet, the man that believes in Almighty God by way of a word from the prophet. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. 8th verse. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So Jeremiah is here blessing the church, the one who believe in our Heavenly Father. He's blessing those people. Why? Because he have authority to do so. When we trust Jesus Christ and those who he put in front of us, if we can prove them that they are of the gospel. Now I'm over in the Old Testament now. But Jeremiah have a word from the Lord. He is blessing the church. He is blessing the man that trusts in the Lord. So the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, that's the person that believes in the prophet. America have offices for the Bible in place, but many don't receive prophecy. How do I know that? I know that because they are not lively in the Word of God. They are not receiving or accepting that word, or they're not either they're not receiving a word from Jesus Christ by way of prophecy, or they are rejecting it. Because we have freedom. We have a freedom. We have a policy in America called freedom. So many is not accepting a word, or they're not getting a word from the mouth of the prophet or the prophetess. But here, Jeremiah have been given authority to bless the man that trusts in the Lord, because Jesus Christ can be trusted. Jesus Christ is faithful. Jesus Christ is the protector of the souls of them whom he have chosen, and the ones whom chooses to believe in his word by his people. So I want to read this once again. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 7th verse. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So when we trust in the prophet or the prophetess, we are not void of substance. Why? Because we receive the living word of Christ in the gospel, from the heart of Christ to the heart of the leader, the teacher, the prophetess, or prophet. When we receive that word and put that word in practice, then if we can prove the prophet needs to be proven, or the prophetess needs to be proven. How? By our Heavenly Father, by Jesus Christ. Why is it that that leader needs to be proven? Because that word that they're supposed to be speaking is supposed to come directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ to the heart and mouth of the person that's doing the work. So if that person is not alive after receiving words from Jesus Christ, a word from Jesus Christ, because this is the Old Testament, but Jeremiah is prophesizing and speaking a word to the church and encouraging and exalting the church and giving them their results afterwards that they trust the Lord. So if I trust the Lord in a man or a female gender is giving me a word from the Lord, then I can trust that word. However, we are responsible for checking the character of the speaker, which is the prophet or the prophetess. So there is a scripture that gives a confirmation that the woman is anointed to be prophetess. So Jeremiah is here giving a word of encouragement and comfort to those whom trust the Lord. 8th verse, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. So when the heat cometh, the heat is usually the trouble. The heat is the trouble. So when the heat comes, this person shall not see it. So they're not going to feel the trouble. They're not going to have to deal with the trouble that's coming. But her leaf, L-E-A-F, shall be green, meaning that this is defined as her leaf shall be green, meaning that this person is alive and their works is alive and their works is effective for living, and shall not be careful, meaning not worrying in the year of drought. So if drought do come, it's not going to affect this person that trusts in the Lord. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So this person that trusts in the Lord will always produce what? Substance. For what? Living. Not just money, but faith. And be confirmed by who? Be confirmed by the judges, the pastors, the apostles, the teachers, the prophet. That person can still live because they trust in the Lord. So here, I'm getting ready because I have one more scripture I want to run through here. I want to talk about giving. Giving what? Giving of your substance into the gospel. So many, many think when they give into a nonprofit organization that they are going to get a blessing, because that was not explained. However, there is nothing wrong with it. It's not illegal. It's nothing wrong with giving it to a nonprofit. But when we give it to a nonprofit organization, we are expecting to receive a refund in tax seasons. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not condemning it. But many think that is, when they do that, that's going to produce a blessing. But that is not the procedure. That is not the law of the nonprofit organization. So many churches do have the nonprofit organization because they possibly giving out clothes. Some have food ministries. Some have prison ministries. And the fact that they do, they are asking the public to give so that they can assist these conditions and these problems. However, that is not the process for a blessing. But it's nothing wrong with it. I do confirm that it's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But that is not how you produce your confidence to receive a blessing from Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, I wasn't going to stop over here, but I would like to stop right here in the book of Proverbs. I want to talk about the power of word. The power of word. Our words, a man or a woman's word is the most important part of his spirit or his heart. So I'm going to read here from the 12th chapter of Proverbs and the 13th verse. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. 14th verse, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruits of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. So here, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. This is the book that Solomon constructed. So here is wisdom. So a wicked man, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. So here the writer is talking about a person who is wicked. So some individuals, they are wicked. They're evil, they're wrong, and they can be ensnared by their own word. However, the Bible is here giving us a word, but the just shall, that's a promise, come out of trouble. So often we can get in trouble. You know how we get in trouble? We get in trouble when we don't know any better. We get in trouble when we're making mistakes. But our Heavenly Father have a way out. There's a promise there that trouble is not going to last. It's not permanent. So trouble is not supposed to destroy us. So if we're in trouble, trouble should cause us to develop experience, an experience character. After, when we make mistakes and we get in trouble, well, if we don't make the same mistake over and over again, then we could develop out of trouble. We should learn by our mistakes. And so trouble is not permanent. Trouble is not supposed to destroy us, but trouble is supposed to develop our character. Our character should develop once we are corrected with the mistake that we made to get ourselves in trouble. After character, then faith. Because we're not going to hurt ourselves with intent to hurt ourselves on purpose in the Lord. 14 verse, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruits of his lips. So if we speak sound words, words of wisdom, words with sound knowledge, with reasons that we want to grow, or maybe we're working, then we can produce good fruits. 14 verse, I want to read this one more time. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So a man's words can be fruits, then a man's words can be wicked. The wicked man can be ensnared because he said something. And the holy man can be satisfied with the goods by the fruits of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered. So that means that what we do, we need to consider what we are doing. We need to consider what kind of results do we want when we are thinking. What kind of decisions are we making? And afterwards that, we are expecting to get what? We are expecting to receive the recompense of our hands. We should be expecting, if I work, if I'm going to work 5 days a week, or if I'm building my family, and I'm building my family, I'm using two subjects here. If I'm going to work 5 days a week, I'm going to say one thing at a time. If I'm going to work 5 days a week, well, if I'm not expecting my paycheck until that Friday, I'm expecting a positive recompense, a paycheck. Or if I'm raising my children and I'm building them in the Lord, teaching them self-control and self-respect and moral ethics and godly fear, well, once I'm done teaching them, once I complete that teaching, I'm expecting for my children to be respectful, to carry themselves respectfully, respect their neighbors, to have self-esteem, to complete their education, and to live. So I expect, if I'm working like that, I'm expecting to receive that recompense of my hands. Because why? Because I have my hands to labor. Okay, so I'm getting ready to close here. I have one more scripture, Matthew, the 19th chapter and the first verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. So Jesus Christ is here once again, though he is performing the work of the gospel which was commanded of him, because he is the one that was chosen to do the work of the gospel. So he had a gift called healing. So the multitude followed him because he was always performing revivals. So the people stayed behind him. I've witnessed revivals where people crowds the church, they crowd in, and that's not for a good time. That level of the ministry is there to deliver the people. So Jesus Christ is here performing the duties that he was commanded to do by our Heavenly Father. So now I'm going to run over here to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. And the 9th verse, and there I will begin to close. I will begin to complete this message on behalf of Jesus Christ in prophecy. So I want to talk about giving. I want to teach you about giving. That's the third chapter of Proverbs and the 9th verse. So the writer is here giving wisdom on behalf of how we should apply our giving process. 9th verse, 3rd chapter. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. 10th verse, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So the writer is here giving us instructions, giving us a direction and structure about to give. 10th verse, I'm going to read this once again. So shall thy barns be filled. No, the 9th verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So what the writer here is encouraging and prophesizing here is that how we should and why we should give. Honor the Lord with thy substance. What is our substance? Our substance is the part of us where we are in labor. We are laboring. So if I have a career and I go to work for 8 hours, then I work, then I am to get a paycheck. So if I'm going to give out of it, I give the first fruits, the first part of it, not the second part. So my first part can be, a dollar, or my first part can be whatever I decide I want to give. Maybe my first part is $20. Many may not have produced that much. So maybe my first part is $10, or maybe my first part is $50 or $100, or maybe my first part is, that's after I looked at my budget now. I have to look at my budget. So the writer here is giving us a word of prophecy, how to give and why to give and when to give it. So the writer is here saying, honor the Lord, that's the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So everything I increase, if I work for 5 days, then at the end of the week, when I start looking at my budget, then I go into my, if I'm honoring this particular word, then what I'll do is give the first part of my increase. And next on the 10th verse, I am expecting that my barns, 10th verse, so shall thy barns, B-A-R-N-S, be filled with plenty. That means I don't have any lack anywhere because I got plenty of everything. I have, my mortgage is paid, my card note is paid, my, if I'm producing, because the Lord spoke it to my heart. After that, the person that is there to give that word, don't leave the leader out, the teacher or the pastor or the apostle. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So when we are giving according to what the Lord have influenced us by way of his word, we are to grow. We are not to just give out of our resources because we go to work and we work for the money. So we are not to just give it out. We are to give if we believe in that word. It comes from the mouth of that prophet or prophetess or teacher or pastor. And when we do, we are expecting to grow. Now, if we are giving it out, then we want to be working with a business. Maybe the person wants a clothing business or whatever business interest that person have, they need to be working, because if you give it out and just not do anything as far as working and producing a business, then we're not expecting to reap any blessings. but we're expecting to receive a recompense, not recompense, I'm using the wrong word, excuse me. We are expected to receive after a period of time according to what was spoken and what is written in the word of God by the one that's speaking it, the leader, the teacher, or the pastor, whoever is speaking it. We are expecting to grow. Now, the first time we plant a seed in the ground, just, I want to use this word, this statement as an example. If I'm planting a seed for a apple in the ground, well, if the weather is good, meaning that that word is directly from our Heavenly Father or directly from Jesus Christ, the two works together as one. So if I plant a apple seed in the ground, the apple seed is not going to produce the tree overnight, but it's not going to take forever. However, if we're putting our resources into a ministry, then we are expected to grow. We are expected to grow. I'm getting ready to close here. So, if you have any prayer requests or questions, you may contact us at silver, S-I-L-V-E-R, at morningstargmnetwork.com, or go to the guest book and leave your information, and we will contact you back as soon as possible. We are asking all faith partners and believers in the gospel to give a donation to assist in the spread of the gospel around the globe so we may elevate the gospel to the highest form with the media platform. You may give us whatever you can afford and expect the Lord to increase your substance and resources according to your faith in His word. That's John the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. 38th verse, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. So you can give, you have a choice here. You can give a one time or a weekly or a monthly. Or you can give if you want to assist us in the spread of the gospel on the media platform. We are expected to go to other platforms to spread the gospel. So if you want to give, you can go to the website at www.morningstargmnetwork.com. Go to the website at www.morningstargmnetwork.com. We're also inviting the audience to join us for the Virtuous Men and Women International Ministries Bible Teaching Seminar. You can go to the website if you're interested in joining us. We would love to have all faith partners and those who believe in the Word of God to join us. So you can join us by going to the website at www.morningstargmnetwork.com and click on the option to purchase your ticket or tickets. There you will find all of the information on the timing of the seminar and the location. We're also stressing to each individual, if the ticket is more expensive than what you can afford, we are willing to chat with each person and make a plan with that person and be patient with that person if they cannot afford it. We are willing to make a financial plan with that person and accept what that person can afford until, if they're working and if they are interested and joining us for the seminar and they cannot afford the ticket, we're willing to work with the person, if they're interested in joining us, work with the person with a financial plan and just accept what that person can afford until they build their finances and they can afford the ticket. So no one is left out. Okay? Again, we are asking all to join us for the seminar. The name of the seminar is The Virtuous Men and Women International Ministries Bible Teaching Seminar 2023. All the information is on the website. Go to the itinerary and there you will find the option to purchase the ticket or your ticket or your tickets. And you also may go to the bottom of the screen and click on the money button to give one-time donation or weekly donation or monthly donation. That is if you would like to contribute to the gospel that we're working with so that we can spread the gospel around the globe. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love yourself the same way and your neighbor the same way. And thank you for sharing your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for joining us on this great afternoon for this great service. Thank you very much.